D20 Radio, where gamers roll.
www.d20radio.com.
Underground Radio, bringing you all the very best Pokemon news and views this side of Twist Mountain. I'm Darren.
I'm Josh.
And I'm Sam. For today's broadcast, we'll be catching up on our weeks in Pokemon, reviewing the very latest Pokemon news. We will be starting out our first ever three-part series on Mega Evolution, and we'll be spotlighting a shadowy Pokemon from Kanto. So sit back, relax, and give your Radio Rotom what it wants. Alright, so, how is everybody doing today? It's been a while since the three of us have been on a Pokemon podcast in a while.
I'm doing well.
I'm doing great, and I'm excited that the three of us are back together.
Yeah. So, I guess we'll just launch right in here and talk about our various weeks in Pokemon before we hit news, because while the news is important, what we've also been doing is also pretty important, and it looks like everybody has some pretty cool things to talk about. So, Darren, what have you been up to?
Oh boy, it's been a pretty strong amount of Pokemon going on in the past week or two of my life. Today, I'm going to play in a league challenge that someone else on this podcast is playing in. And I'll probably be
not you.
And I'll probably be running Aromatis Mega Kangaskhan, because it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Other than that, I spent the past couple days EV training and leveling up 7 Pokemon for our friend Ben. He doesn't like training at all and was never going to get around to it. So I'm like, you know what? Why don't you just give them to me and I'll do it in a couple days and give it back to you.
So why 7? There are only 6 to a team.
Right? He got 6 ice types and a Kangaskhan because...
Because
Kangaskhan.
Because so. Kangaskhan. Makes sense.
He couldn't decide on his final team, so he just gave me 7.
Okay.
And then... While doing that, I got some inspiration to work on my Sun team a little bit. It's very in the beginning stages right now, but working on it, of course. Other than that, I got second...
And you're breeding Pokemon, and you pick up all your eggs from the Pokemon guy, and you start, like, biking around, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you hatch one egg... And then the next step, you hatch another?
Yeah.
That's happening to me in real life.
Very cool.
My wife is pregnant with twins.
That's awesome.
Congratulations, so, man.
Yeah, I'm totally freaking out. I'm going to have 2 little Pokemon Masters in the next, 7 months here.
That is so awesome.
Yeah, I'm super stoked. So I tried to make it Pokemon related.
Yeah, no, congratulations.
Well, thank you.
We're really happy for you, man.
Well, thanks. But outside of that, I've really spent most of the past 2 weeks trying to catch a stupid Hidden Power Ice Zapdos with usable stats. And I hate that stupid bird. I've gotten 3 in that time that had 5 perfect IVs, everything but attack. And I was so tempted to just say, you know what? This thing is perfect. I'm just going to roll with it. But I couldn't do it because it wasn't HP ice.
Man, see, and...
That's a tall order.
I know.
That is a tall order. And I'm just going to say I've had trouble with catching Zapdos in the past. Not in X and Y, because I haven't gotten to that point. But just catching a Zapdos, he seems to be a little more troublesome than his other two brothers there. But I would not even care about the hidden power ice. If I saw a Zapdos with 5 perfect IVs, I'd just be like, nope, that's mine.
Yeah, and I was very tempted. But I really, like, I have the idea in my head as to what exactly this bird needs to do. And one of my league members is actually going to be using one of my teams for Nationals. So I am getting the Zapdos ready for him to use to compete, since I'm working the tournament and not competing.
I see.
So I really want it to be as perfect as possible.
Now that makes sense.
Without HP Ice, he's going to get destroyed by all of those dragons. So, yeah, that's a thing. And then just starting last night, because I was getting sick and tired of Zapdos, I started breeding for my shiny future Mega Swampert. So I'm breeding for a shiny Mudkip right now, so that when Omega and Sapphire... Ruby and Sapphire, I can't even speak today.
Yeah.
When they come out, I will be able to get my Mega Swampert with good stats and shiny and purpley and beautiful.
Very nice.
Yes. So I started that last night. I'm actually working on it as we speak, because that is Pokemon.
Yeah.
And yeah, our league down here, we have moved to 2 days a week. So we're now doing Thursdays and Saturdays, which is pretty cool, because during the summer, a lot more people have a lot more free time.
Mm-hmm.
And this last Thursday at League, we held an Uncommons tournament for VGC. So what I did is I put together a list banning everything that was common in VGC. So no Garchomp, no Salamence, no Kangaskhan, you know, nothing that's very common and popular to use. And we put together just completely random teams. And it was really fun to see what some people did. I actually participated in the tournament as well, which was amazing. Because Josh Massey doesn't play Pokemon. He breeds and then holds them in a box and they do nothing. But yeah, that's about it for me. So, Sam, what have you been up to?
Well, I printed off a bunch more of those sixth page League flyers that you generously donated the form for me, and I just edited them for the leagues up here. I dropped a couple off at the GameStop in town, and I also dropped off some for my league at Nick's, and I'm going to drop off some for Paradox's league at Paradox, so that way people have little physical reminders about Pokemon League that they can acquire and look at.
Cool, cool.
I also was out to the Drunken Noodle the other day, and I noticed that a Raichu had been drawn on the chalkboard there. And when I talked to the clerk behind the counter, he said, "Oh yeah, I drew that one." I was like, "Oh, so you're a Pokemon fan?" And he said, "Yes, I back in the day I played Leaf Green a lot, and I would go all around the Midwest and go to the various Toys R Us stores and do competitions for Celebes and things like that." And I was like, "So, why aren't you at Pokemon League?" So I gave him the information for both leagues and for the podcast, and I let him know that if he was ever interested in getting back into it, that all he had to do was pick up a 3DS and a copy of the game, and we would trade anything and everything that he would ever want to him and get him set up.
Well, that makes it much more tempting to show up when you know you can have everything under the sun.
And we do have everything under the sun. It's really gotten to the point at League now where people are asking, not for like, "Oh, do you just have like a Simisear, or do you have a Pansage or something like that?" It's, "Do you have a Pansage with its hidden ability?" You know, It's gotten to that point, so that's good. But I will also be playing in the League Challenge today, and I will most likely be running Charizard. So figured that would be a good way to go. I was going to Also say that I've been getting a little further in on my copy of Y. I fully maxed out the affection and super trained all of the Pokemon that I intend to use as the final team for Pokemon Y, and shut off the experience share.
No sharing.
Yep, no sharing. I want these guys to train themselves, and if I want the experience share on, I'll turn it back on. But for right now, I think I want to use the Pokemon that I have and have them do the Mega Evolution thing that way. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Sweet.
If anyone was curious, I chose the Mega Venusaur for this one. And the Mega Venusaur is pretty cool.
He's a beefcake.
Yes, he is. He and Mega Lucario are both on there. And I like the setup that I have a lot. It's Lucario, Venusaur. I chose Fennekin for my starter. And then I have a Lapras. And who are the other ones? I don't know, they were... I so very rarely use them, and the experience share really helped them out. I think, yeah. I have a Goomy on the team, just because Goomy, and I also have a flying type. Oh, right, a Crobat.
Ooh. Nice.
So, Crobat has also been really cool. He's been pulling a lot of weight on that team.
Yeah.
So that's that. I've also been building teams on Showdown with a couple of different Mega Evolutions that aren't normally seen up here. A lot of people like their Mega Lucarios and their Mega Garchomps and things of that nature, and I'm going to try and build something that doesn't use those in the hopes that maybe it'll work out pretty well.
Did you say Mega Garchomp?
Yes.
Really?
I've seen a couple. Yeah, people use them.
Interesting.
Yeah. I know, I'm probably going to have a Mega Garchomp when I finally move up my Cynthia team that I built in Gen 5.
True.
Because that Cynthia team was terrifying. But, so I'll have that. We wrapped up the Chestnut season last week, gave out people their prizes, and for the people who didn't get the prizes, they're going to be waiting until the Delphox season starts to be able to get back in on that. A lot of people showed up and they were just like, oh, so are these cards still valid? And they were holding out cards for like the Xerneas season. I was like, nope, we aren't using those anymore.
Why are you even here?
You got to use the ones from the Chestnut season. Oh, can I get one of those? This is the last week of the Chestnut season. If you wanted to wait a week, we'll be starting the Delphox season soon. I mean, you can start there, and, you know, if you fill out a row, I can give you all the prizes that you missed from before. Oh, okay. And I was like, yep. So we'll plan on doing that then? All right.
Nice.
And as Darren said, I do have a couple other little things to talk about when it comes to the CoreCon tournament. I was the tournament organizer. Kevin was the judge for that one. He actually did judge things. You know, the video game pretty much judges itself, but there were a couple questions people had, and he was pretty helpful for just helping me get everything organized and set up. So that was really cool. And, yep, Darren was the winner of that one. He took first place, got himself a Haunter plushie.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So that was amazing. I still need to remember to email the guys who organized the whole convention and ask them where they happened to get a Haunter plushie so that I could get one.
Mm-hmm. And Darren should take a picture of that plush and put it on the page.
Yes, you know you should.
I'll totally do that today.
Good. Yeah, and then the second place winner was Sam Williams, and the third place winner was Casey Wise, and all three of them had some really cool teams. So,
speaking of Mega Garchomp, the second place winner, the final match between us, it came down to my Choice Scarf Garchomp versus his Mega Garchomp.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Interesting.
Yeah, the Choice Scarf Garchomp is fast.
Scarf Chomp is amazing.
It really is. So, the CorCon tournament went super well, and we wrapped it up just in time for me to go to Pokemon League afterwards, so that was really cool. And I also picked up the Xerneas and Yveltal collection boxes for both of the figures, because the Xerneas and the Yveltal both are really beautiful figures.
Yeah, I still haven't even seen them. I need to go hunting.
Yes, you do. Because they are very well done. And I didn't get too bad of a pulls out of them either. I think I got a Mega Charizard Y in one of the boxes. I think it was the Xerneas box. And I got another Reverse Holo Fennekin out of the Yveltal box, so I was pretty happy.
Nice. And these are the boxes. They're $20. They have the figure, and yes. Is it three packs or four?
Four packs,
okay.
In the ones that I got, it was traditionally one package of Legendary Treasures and then three of X and Y.
Okay.
So.
Sounds about right.
But, you know, the X and Y set also had some really cool stuff in it. It's not just Flash Fire that had some awesome stuff. So, yeah. And that's pretty much everything I have. So, I guess we will then move on to the news desk. And it is time for us to check out the news desk, first of which we have some underground announcements. First one, the underground radio needs your help. We're going back through our records to find which Pokemon we've spotlighted, and that, you know, we've just so that we have a list of them to make sure we don't go over them again. And we'd love for you, the listeners, to help us in this endeavor. We'll set up a document on the Facebook page that lists all 79 episodes and what their spotlighted Pokemon are, so that you can help us fill out the missing blanks. I've been trying to look up the records on our own end here, but unfortunately a lot of the show notes have been kind of split up amongst various email addresses, so I don't have all of the show notes on hand. So, if you can help us out with that, that would be really awesome, and then we won't have to worry about going over Carbink again and just being like, oh, so we're going to spotlight Carbink. Oh, wait, we already did that one. So.
Backpedal.
We were also going to let our listeners know that none of the Underground's staff was picked to host Nationals or Worlds this year, but we do want to congratulate those who were chosen, because those guys, I was looking at a list of it. The list is on Nugget Bridge, I believe, and the people who they chose are going to do very, very well with the announcing. They got a couple of YouTubers for the trading card game. Which one was the one that I had heard of? Puka, I believe, was the one. And, yeah, he does a good job. I watched a couple of his videos after I saw the announcement, and, yeah, he'll do really well. And for the video game, I'm also looking forward to that one. So I'll be listening in to the Worlds broadcast for sure, because, Josh, you're going to maybe be working Worlds?
Still crossing my fingers.
Because that would also be awesome. Maybe I'll get to see a Professor Massey up on the stage. That would be so cool.
I'll sneak in and wave.
Oh, that would be awesome. But
I'll have a sign that says, "Hey, Underground."
Yeah. Ooh. That would be cool.
And then they'll kick me out and never have me come back again.
Yeah.
I'll have to get you one of those there Underground Radio t-shirts.
Yes.
Ooh.
That would be awesome.
I've heard those are cool.
And, yeah, that's the Underground announcements we have so far. Oh, and the Double Team segment, we are going to be taking voting for that one. And I'm going to try to get all of the episodes here posted as shortly as I possibly can so that there's not as much of an overlap with this as there has been before. Because technical issues and a whole bunch of other things that have been making it rather difficult for me to get around to editing the show. Sorry.
Stupid Porygons.
Yep.
The Rotomes are angry with you.
Oh, the Rotomes are never angry with me. It's the Porygons with all their just logic bomb stuff that they're dropping all over the place that make it troublesome.
The Porynanigans something?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So, that's Underground Announcements. I guess I'll also launch right into the next bullet point here. We're still waiting on news for the trading card game rotation, and just from my experience, it's starting to get a little ugly as to which is actually going to be the sets where it starts rolling out here. So we'll keep you posted when they actually drop the announcement as to which sets are going to be viable for 2015.
I think you just like getting into heated discussions about what it will or will not be. That's what I think.
Maybe.
But outside of that, the June 2014 International Challenge is ongoing right here, right now. And again, I was too lazy to do anything about it.
Yeah, yeah. Laziness.
Still, though, the participants, you guys have a great time. I'm really rooting for you. I know a couple people who are participating in it. And, you know, for those listeners who will know what I'm referring to, you guys just go out there and have a great time. Your Pokemon are going to be fantastic.
Yeah. let me take the next bullet point here. July 17th, 2014, Tokyo TV will air another special episode of the Pokemon anime. Deancey, Princess of the Ore Country, will feature Deancey and her Carbink butlers as they make their way to awaken Xerneas. That sounds pretty interesting.
The Carbink butlers?
Right?
That is awesome. Do they wear the little, like, tuxedo suit butler thingy jigs?
I don't know, but, you know, they don't sound that intimidating. And then you remember back to the previous episode where we covered diamond lasers. And... yeah, that's actually some pretty good security you got going there.
Not too bad.
Yeah. Also, from July 3rd to July 10th of this year, there will be registration for the Eevee Friendly. And this Eevee Friendly, for those of you who remember the episode where we talked about them, you can only use Pokemon that are Eevee and its various Eeveelutions.
I can't remember. Do either of you remember? Is it singles or doubles for this one?
You know, I think it's singles.
Okay.
I think. I've not heard a whole lot about the rules on that one quite yet, but I have seen a lot of conversation on what people are going to use, and it's basically boiling down to, I'm just going to use my favorites.
Oh, so, absolutely. I will actually probably do that one because Umbreon is usable.
Because Umbreon is usable, and I think I might migrate up one of my Pokemon to breed with so that I can possibly get my trump card Eevee back.
Yes.
Because that's pretty much going to be the one time where I'm going to be able to do that.
Espeon.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say one. I probably won't participate, but I think Espeon's pretty cool.
Make it and have it be Glaceon.
Yeah, I love Glaceon, too.
Glaceon is cool.
I love her bangs.
Yeah.
She's pretty.
You gotta love a Pokemon, it should be for its bangs. Just makes sense.
Right?
And for the last little bit of news that we have today, there were three new Mega Evolutions just announced. They are Mega Sableye, Mega Sceptile, and Mega Swampert.
Ooh.
And yeah, I am stoked for all three of them. The Mega Sableye is the only one I'm a little iffy on because his ability changes to Magic Bounce. And not having Prankster on a Sableye, we'll have to see how that works. But then the Mega Sceptile gets Lightning Rod, which is going to be beautiful. And the Mega Swampert is going to be getting Swift Swim, which is going to be just as beautiful.
Yes.
Yes. I actually had a discussion on the Facebook page a couple days ago about Mega Sableye. We decided he wouldn't be very viable competitively, but we're pretty excited to build novelty teams with him. He can just really mess with your opponent's mind meat.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know, Sam and I were discussing this, and my personal thoughts with the Mega Sableye is if you were going to run him, you would run him as a prankster, but depending on his stat distribution once he does Mega Evolve, you could do a little bit of both. Because it says that his special attack gets pretty solid, so if you maybe run him with Will-O-Wisp Confuse Ray, and maybe prankster the first couple turns to burn a couple things or confuse a couple things, and then Mega Evolve him, just to be an attacker. I mean, there is potential. It depends on what his stats do end up looking like.
All right. Well, that is Pokemon news. It's been kind of a pretty weighty news week, actually. And we'll wait and see what happens for us next week. Maybe we'll get a few more announcements of Mega Pokemon. That would be awesome. And we will then move on to the main topic here. So, for our main topic today, we were going to be covering a idea that I had from quite a while back, and the genesis of it was I had read an article about specifically Mega Pokemon, and it was mostly about them in the trading card game, and how usable they were, and I was slightly disappointed with how they were portrayed and the opinions that were of them. And I also had some discussions with players at League who were just who thought that some Mega Pokemon were just not as viable as others, and you know, that sort of thing. There was a little bit of naysaying about the Mega Evolutions, so I thought that it would be really interesting to do a segment on Mega Evolution. Josh and I talked about it and realized that it might be just a little too big for one show, so we decided to split it up into three. And for our three-part episode introduction, main topics of the what we're tentatively calling Mega Evolve, we're going to be going over part one, which is all about the lore of Mega Evolution. So, for the first part here, we'll have Darren kick off this guy and let us know what Mega Evolution is.
Can do, Sam. Mega Evolution happens when a Pokemon and its trainer possess a Mega Stone and a Keystone, respectively, as well as there being a strong bond or connection between the two. Karina mentions that the bond is trust, that trust is synchronized in the medium that is the two stones, in order to induce Mega Evolution.
And, you know, Mega Evolution, it's allowing that Pokemon that was previously considered to be fully evolved to go even further. And it results in some pretty disgustingly powerful Pokemon to have to deal with.
Yes, it does. And the funny thing about that is, you know, she talks about trust. And one of her Pokemon leaves her to join you, some random trainer it's seen twice, and Mega Evolves.
You know?
Yeah.
We will certainly talk about that one at a later in a later segment here, so we'll save that discussion. But, yeah, no. And it's been interesting, too, because this is the not only the first region, Kalos, that we have Mega Evolution, or that we've even heard of it, but there are also researchers that have even devoted themselves to Mega Evolution.
One of those researchers being from this region, Professor Sycamore. He is currently researching the mysteries of Mega Evolution and entrusts promising trainers with some of the Mega Stones that he has acquired during his studies.
And that was really cool to see happen, too, because that's important research material. I mean, that's like some guy at a museum just giving out these fossils or whatever that he's been working and studying on for the longest time to just some random person that he decided was worthy enough to have them.
Not necessarily even a random person, a random kid.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, here you go, you know, 15, 16-year-old, have this.
But, you know, I suppose if Mega Evolution happens when you're battling Pokemon, the best way to get more data on it is to have people actually go out and do it, as opposed to just keeping the Megastone locked up in study forever.
This is true.
Very true.
We also had Gherkin, who was the Mega Evolution guru, and he is an incredibly knowledgeable individual on the subject of Mega Evolution, and he is also the distributor, I guess, of the keystones that are usually, well, for anybody who for any of the trainers, like the player characters, they're set in a Mega Ring, which is more like a Mega Bracelet, but, you know, a Mega Circlet, something like that.
Mega Round Thing.
But they also mount these keystones in a lot of other different things. I took a peek at the Mega Evolution specials that Darren was talking about a little while ago, and I saw that they had enclosed those keystones in, like, umbrellas and in bow ties, and Diantha from the Kalos region has one in a charm she wears around her neck. And so it's a very, I don't know if maybe the designers intended this, but it's a very fashionable object to have too. So
yeah, it is. It's cool because in the game you have the bracelet, like Sam said, and then Lissandre, however you say his name, he has it in a ring. And then Karina, actually, doesn't she have it in her gloves?
Yep, she wields it in her glove.
So, yeah, you can wear it just about anywhere, which is something else I will want to talk about eventually, too. But
yeah,
we'll forget that for right now.
Yeah. The very first Pokemon to have been observed as Mega Evolving was a Lucario. A statue of this Lucario in its Mega form is found in the Tower of Mastery, where both Gherkin and his granddaughter Karina study Mega Evolution.
That statue is also very legit.
It's ginormous.
It is ginormous.
Huge.
And he's got the flowing, like, hair tendril mane thing going on behind him, and, you know, the sculptors for that statue were just amazing.
It was probably the Mega Lucario who made it himself.
There you go.
Punching one giant piece of granite, that appeared.
Man.
I like it.
So, moving on. Karina, the gym leader of Shalor City, is also the Mega Evolution successor, being entrusted with her own Mega Glove and the stone to Mega Evolve her Lucario. She is in part responsible for helping research into the many mysteries of Mega Evolution.
She is a very legit trainer, though.
She's cool. I like Karina a lot.
Right? She's just all over the place, too. I mean, she has most likely been just out and around, just Mega Evolving and battling people and just enjoying life, maybe even passing out a couple of keystones to other people, and kind of like spreading the awesomeness that is Mega Evolution to the people who are worth it.
Yeah, she's definitely the coolest gym leader in X and Y.
Yeah, and she reminds me a little bit of like an Elite Four champion.
Yeah.
In a lot of the games, they're the ones traveling around, and you see them, you know, in different places helping out. And you don't really see her helping to make the world a better place too often, But she's always out and doing, whether it be research or training to, you know, make her Pokemon's trust stronger.
Yeah.
She's always out doing something, which makes her cool.
That is. And, you know, while Mega Evolution is said to be quite powerful, it's also been said in the games that, you know, the Pokemon don't need Mega Evolution for their trainers to appreciate their Pokemon, which in turn made me appreciate Mega Evolution a little more. I mean, there are certainly some situations where Mega Evolving your Pokemon is not the best option. Or perhaps you just really don't care for the Mega Evolution and you don't want to have that in your battling team, but that's okay.
Like a Scarf Chomp rather than a Mega Chomp.
Exactly.
Good,
you know?
Example.
And it's also illustrates a little bit more the whole idea of partners and friendship and the whole thing that's going on in these Pokemon games that makes it a really positive game to play.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, really, really like it.
It's grown on me. I was scared of it when they first announced it.
Yeah.
But it is to the point where I love it as well.
Yeah, because at first it was introduced as this increasing power level, and you were just like, oh man, this is getting to be a little too much here for me. And then it was just like, oh yeah, it's all about, you know, trust, and we actually balanced them out so that you could easily take care of them, even with Pokemon that aren't Mega Evolved. And, you know, it's been executed extremely well.
Yeah. I don't compare it to Digimon anymore.
No.
Well, Pokemon who Mega Evolve do not remain Mega Evolved. The effect will eventually wear off, returning the Pokemon to its previous state.
Which is also pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it allows you to keep the older Pokemon and also have them do something different, and it just increases the overall strategy and brilliance of the Pokemon games.
Agreed.
I agree. At first, when they announced Mega Evolution, I was a little iffy too, but the way they've done it, I agree, it's just been good for the game.
And there's not even really that much second guessing or trying to predict which Pokemon are going to Mega Evolve. I mean, you can look at a team, and if you know what you're doing, you know which Pokemon are going to Mega Evolve. It's just mostly determining what those Pokemon are going to do and how that strategy will come into play there, and having it work for you, that really makes the whole Mega Evolution thing a really cool mechanic to have for your strategies. I mean, there have been a lot of times where, you know, just some strategies just do not work. And I feel like Mega Evolution will help a lot of strategies that might have been a little too difficult to pull off at first just because there just weren't any Pokemon that did it particularly well, or the Pokemon themselves just weren't equipped to deal with competitive Pokemon, and make it that much easier to do it.
True. And like Sam said, you know, there are a lot of teams where you can look at the team and decide which ones are going to Mega Evolve. And this is just, you know, to help out some of our listeners. If you ever see a Kangaskhan or a Mawile, know that they're going to Mega Evolve.
Yep.
That's all there is to it.
That's all there is to it.
Yep.
No other options.
Yeah, the Mega abilities are just too good to pass up for either. So. Yeah.
And there are several trainers who are capable of using a Keystone to Mega Evolve their Pokemon, with notable examples being Gym Leader Karina, who we've talked about, Elite Four member Seabold, and he only did it in the anime, which was awesome.
Yeah.
And then the Kalos region champion, Diantha,
whose Mega Evolution completely caught me off guard at first. I was super caught off guard by Lysandre, who was just like, well, I've got my Gyarados out here, Mega Evolution. Oh, that's gonna hurt a lot. And it did. But
the Super Shrimp.
The Super Shrimp. But that Mega Gardevoir is a little terrifying.
Yeah, she is. She is. I love Mega Gardevoir. She's just so cool looking, and typing is so good and just fun.
And, you know, it's these trainers, too. I mean, and it was marvelously well done with how they also brought in the Pokemon and me thing, too. So you also get that feeling that not only are you able to Mega Evolve them, but you can also raise their affections. So you legitimately feel like it's not just a, oh, well, you know, it's you just have a really strong bond with your Pokemon. Yeah, with any Pokemon that you catch or trade over. No, it's you can also raise their affection levels, and you can play with them, and you can feed them food, and it just really enhances your connection with the pieces of data that are the Pokemon that you can quite legitimately feel affection and love for.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. The Pokemon games are so good.
And that's why we play.
That is why we play. Also, one thing that I saw that was super amazing, there is only one Pokemon that has ever been known to Mega Evolve itself without a Keystone or a trainer to help it, and it came as absolutely no surprise, and that was Mewtwo.
Yep, that's the only one so far. I've been hearing rumors of Dunsparce being able to do it on his own, too.
Well, Dunsparce is Dunsparce. I mean, we're not even going to question that logic right there.
It just makes sense.
It just makes sense. So, yeah. That's a little bit of the facts on Mega Evolution here. And, I don't know, the Mega Evolution lore. I mean, they've talked about how it's originated in Kalos, but that the knowledge of it that was seeded in Kalos is starting to spread outward. And just being able to see these Mega Evolution researchers in the other regions, Hoenn, for example, and how the Mega Evolutions will work for the Hoenn Pokemon, and that they'll gradually spread to more of the Kanto Pokemon, or the Sinnoh Pokemon, or the Unova, or Johto Pokemon. I'm super looking forward to it, and hearing more about some of the fantastic things that these Pokemon can do when their connection with their trainers is that powerful.
And it's now time to take a walk down our Hall of Fame. And today we're going to talk about Karina, who definitely needs to be inducted into the Hall of Fame because of her amazing awesomeness.
Yeah. So, Karina is just an incredible trainer. And she's a gym leader, and she is, without a doubt, a friend of Pokemon. Like, she's just, like, the epitome of what being a super awesome trainer is.
Karina is a successor, and is one of the very few Pokemon trainers capable of Mega Evolving her Pokemon.
Karina's grandfather is also the Mega Evolution Guru, and as such, her knowledge of the secret workings of Mega Evolution is quite strong.
Her bond with her Pokemon, exemplified by Mega Evolution, is so strong that she can virtually understand her Pokemon's innermost thoughts.
She is also a very skilled trainer, battling challengers of her gym in a special skating rink filled with other skaters, practicing their skills on wheels and in Pokemon battles.
And upon defeating Karina, Caleb and Serena both begin a new chapter in their Pokemon journey. After Karina explains Mega Evolution and the requirements of trust and love between trainer and Pokemon it takes to make it happen. She will also part with one of her own beloved Lucario, knowing its wishes and accepting its desire to travel with another trainer it has taken a liking to.
which I thought was super awesome.
It is cool. Like, the whole Ash in the anime understanding Pikachu, you know, it is what it is. He understands Pika going, whatever. But you can tell how connected she is with her Pokemon, and it makes sense that she would actually understand what they're thinking and what they're wanting.
Mm-hmm.
Even inside their Pokeballs, which is cool.
Yes. And Karina is also just an amazing trainer to the point that she's even getting immortalized in her own Pokemon trading card in the form of the Supporter Karina, which allows a Pokemon trainer to search their deck for a fighting type Pokemon and an item card and put them into their hand. So if you get your own Supporter in a whole set which is devoted to the type that she is specialized in, you know you're doing something right.
Yes,
and it's a good
you
supporter
are.
Card.
Yeah. So, we have now inducted Karina into our Hall of Fame for being an amazing Pokemon trainer, a friend to Pokemon, and for being just a righteous person all around.
What kind of Pokemon are you? How do you do the things you do? Share with me your secrets deep inside. What kind of Pokemon are you? Are you loyal through and through? And do you have a heart that's true? What kind of Pokemon are you?
This week's Pokemon Spotlight covers number 94, Gengar.
Gengar is a Pokemon native to the Kanto region, and is the final evolved form of Ghastly and Haunter.
Known as the Shadow Pokemon, Gengar is dark purple Pokemon, with several spikes on its back, is very round, and has two stubby arms and legs. It has a pair of large, menacing red eyes and a very wide grin.
He is so cool looking.
He is so cool looking. And with that grin, it makes him look even scarier.
It does.
He's like smiling at you, but he wants to kill you.
Gengar is one of the very few known Pokemon to Mega Evolve into a stronger form after reacting to the energy produced between a Mega Stone and a Keystone.
Gengar steals warmth from the area around it, dropping the temperature of its surroundings by nearly 10 degrees Fahrenheit. Could use him today, I bet. It's going to be hot.
Yep.
I'm in Corpus Christi. I need me a Gengar.
You need like 40 Gengar.
Exactly. And when I first read that, I got excited. I was like dropping it to 10 degrees Fahrenheit. I'm like, I could take that. Take that in a heartbeat. Oh, man. All right. And while often mischievous, Gengar can also be quite malicious. They torment their victims with curses and erratic behavior, and possess the shadows of their victims to drain their life force. Awesome. Taking intense pleasure in the fright of those they cross. Gengar can be very loyal to their trainers, though.
When Gengar Mega Evolves, it becomes much more menacing to look at. It gains additional spikes on its back and its hands. Its ears also become larger and spikier. And, freakiest part of all, it gains a third eye, which allows it to see into other dimensions.
Man.
Yeah.
Gengar has also been a menace in the TCG, having 15 cards dedicated to him. Sadly, none of these cards are currently tournament legal, but I'm hoping for After Rising Fist, that set will have Gengar in it.
Seriously.
They've got a
Gengar
ton of
EX
ghost
and
type
Mega
Pokemon.
Gengar EX.
Oh, can you imagine a Mega Gengar? That would be so terrifying.
He's so good.
Just, if they do it, though, they have to make it a full art for Mega Gengar. Because full art Mega Gengar, just his face just right there with that huge grin staring at you would just... I'd just be like, nope, 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 you win.
Yeah. And then three sets later, they need to come out with the ultra rare shiny one.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Ugh. I want it.
We're going to give Darren a moment here. And being a ghost, Gengar is able to float above incoming ground type attacks. And upon Mega Evolving, Gengar becomes so frightening to its opponents that all but ghost types are available or are able to escape him, those being his abilities Levitate and Shadow Tag.
Gengar and his evolutionary line are the only Pokemon with the Ghost and Poison typing.
Gengar has also been impossible to obtain in every generation without the help of a friend. Or for people like Josh, who have no friends, second DS in a game.
Yeah. I'm not very good at friends.
We're your friends, Josh.
That's what you say when you're on a podcast. I know the truth. And Mega Gengar, once he does Mega Evolve, has the highest special attack of all Ghost and Poison-type Pokemon, and it also has the highest speed of all Ghost-type Pokemon, and ties with Crobat for the highest speed of all Poison-type Pokemon. He also has the highest base stat total of all non-legendary Ghost-type Pokemon. So he is just... it's frightening.
He is... terrifying. There have been a couple of notable trainers who have possessed a Gengar. The most important of them, I would argue, would be Agatha of the Kanto Elite Four, who possessed, I believe, multiple Gengars, and she had even more of them in the Pokemon manga, where she commanded an entire ghost-type army with many, many Gengars.
Professor Oak's six Pokemon rule just goes out the window when you're...
when you're an Elite Four member, just... yeah, so I only have an army of all ghost-type Pokemon, the most terrifying shadow army to ever exist, ever.
Yes!
If the rumors are true about their possible past relationships, maybe she just... doesn't care at all what he has to say to her. Everyone else has to have six Pokemon, but she's like, whatever, I do what I want. You're just Professor Oak.
Yeah.
Gengar's name, and finally, one more little tidbit of information here. Gengar's name is thought to be based off of the doppelganger, which is a double of a person. It makes sense that he tries to live inside a person's shadow when you think of it that way.
Oh, yeah.
He's such a creep.
All right, it is time once again for our favorite segment here, which we've been a little lax on just because of the backlog of episodes, but we have been working to fix that, and that is the question of the week. For anybody who is listening, you can totally listen in on the previous questions and send them to us, and we will reply them. We will post your replies in the next episode of the podcast. So please do not be shy. We love to hear your responses to these. This week's question, which of the new Mega Evolutions are you most excited about from the announcement of Pokemon Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire?
Well, I know I'm pretty pumped for Mega Sableye. I know it's not going to be very tournament viable, but he's gonna be just funny, and he looks just menacing. You can see his face through the jewel. Ugh. He's just gonna eat your dreams.
I am just gonna throw in the qualifier that there is no such Pokemon that is not competitively viable, except for maybe a Love Disc. Maybe.
Right. Challenge accepted.
Challenge accepted. And then Josh builds a team like the Swiffer team.
Yes.
Josh rides his Love Disc to Worlds.
I need to find a river now that I can take all the way over to DC.
Yes.
Well, for me, I'm going to comment on Mega Sableye and just agree with Darren that Mega Sableye is gorgeous. Love the design. Love that he pulls the jewel out of his belly, basically, and uses it as a hyper shield.
Yeah.
I just think it's sweet. But for me personally, I love the beefcake that is Mega Swampert.
He is so enormous.
Giant. Like, I want to look like that. I want to be Popeye forearmed and everything.
That is so cool.
He's just so sweet. He just looks like he wants to punch holes in all of the things that have ever been things.
My personal favorite of the three so far has been Mega Sceptile. And it's not because it's a dragon type.
Yes, it is.
You're such a liar.
Well, maybe a little. But the Mega Sceptile looks really, really cool. And he got Lightning Rod as his hidden ability. And I think that would be really cool to put on a rain team. And, you know, it's an option if you wanted to do something other than Mega Blastoise. Or even if you didn't want to do a Mega Blastoise and you didn't want to Mega Evolve your Sceptile, he's also got that Unburden ability. I'm pretty sure that's still around.
Mm-hmm. It
is. So you could easily do something like that. And then you've still got something that could still just drop a held item or something and just go to town with acrobatics or something. So he's a very flexible Pokemon that offers you a wider range of options than, you know, a lot of the other choices that you have do. I think he would be a good complement for Pokemon like Ludicolo, for example.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Mega Sceptile, I'm going to throw this in there too. He just looks like he doesn't even care.
No, he doesn't.
No, he's in a battle, and he's got his tail towards you, and he's kind of looking back over his shoulder like, what?
Yeah, whatever.
What are you even doing here?
It's just like, I'm quadruple weak to ice, but do I look like I care right now?
Who isn't quadruple weak to ice, though?
It's true.
That's a good point.
So, those are our choices here. If you want to respond to this question of the week, you can do it in one of many ways. You can either send the response to us on the Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/theundergroundpodcast. You can send it to us over a email to our mailbag at theundergroundmailbag@gmail.com. You can send it to us on Twitter at Radio Rotome, or you could send it to us via the D20 Radio Network forums at d20radio.com/forums.
If you enjoyed today's broadcast, you can find back episodes of The Underground on iTunes or at our website, theundergroundpodcast.wordpress.com. Please subscribe to the show via the iTunes Store or directly through the RSS feed on our website. If you like what you hear, leave us a review or rating on iTunes. And if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, send them with the nearest Delibird to our mailbag. Or you can just email us at theundergroundmailbag@gmail.com.
We would also love to hear your bumpers. Just record an MP3 of yourself telling us that you dig the underground and send it in. We'll play it at the top of the next episode. Please join us on our discussions over on the D20 Radio Network forums at d20radio.com/forums. We're also on Twitter at Radio Rotome and on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/theundergroundpodcast.
Please join us again next week when we'll cover part 2 of our Mega Evolve series. So until next time, PokeFans, remember that our secret base is always open to you if you can find it.
The Underground Podcast is protected under a Creative Commons, non-commercial, no derivatives, 3.0 unported license and is intended for entertainment and educational purposes only. Pokemon is a registered trademark of Nintendo, Game Freak, 4Kids Entertainment, and Wizards of the Coast. Music used in the show comes courtesy of the OC Remix album, The Missing Note Tracks. These songs and thousands more can be found at www.ocremix.org. All original audio, textual, graphical, and video content associated with the Underground Podcast are the sole copyright intellectual property of Nateel Erickson and Samuel Ranke in affiliation with the D20 Radio Network.